The adopted son of storied University of Michigan football coach Bo Schembechler went on record today as a survivor of sexual abuse at the hands of University of Michigan team doctor Robert Anderson. We want to acknowledge that this story is going to be difficult for some listeners. If you need to switch off, now's the time. Let's listen to a little bit of what Matt Schembechler said today at a press conference with two other survivors of abuse by Dr. Anderson.
Anderson abused me and countless others over three decades. It's clear the culture of abuse at the University of Michigan has not changed and will not change until they acknowledge what happened. Anderson was able to continue this abuse for so long because he was supported by a culture that placed the reputation of the university above the health and safety of the students.
Matt Schembechler's story is one of hundreds that have emerged in the past few years as longstanding complaints about Robert Anderson finally became public knowledge. Several lawsuits are exploring the university's possible culpability. Matt Schembechler was 5 years old when Bo Schembechler married his widowed mother and adopted him. It was just a few years later that the family moved to Ann Arbor. David Jesse reports for the Detroit Free Press, and he spoke with Matt Schembechler yesterday. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Matt Schembechler might be in a somewhat unique position as to attest to what his stepfather, Bo, did or did not know about Dr. Anderson's abuses. What was the story he shared with you?
Well, he shared with me the story about how when he was 10 years old, back in 1969, he went to see Dr. Anderson for a routine sports physical, you know, just one of those things that everyone has done before they start playing sports. And during that physical exam, he was sexually assaulted by Dr. Anderson. Matt came home, told his mom, Millie, who was Bo's second wife. They had just married. Millie told him that he needed to talk to Bo when Bo came home from football practice that day. And so when Bo came home later that afternoon, Matt told Bo what happened, that he had been sexually assaulted by Dr. Anderson.
Can you tell us anything more about Matt's relationship with Bo?
It has been rocky over the years. At that point, his mom had just married Bo. They got married in 1968, so a year or so earlier. They had just moved to Ann Arbor. That was Bo's first year here. And so they were just kind of figuring out, I think, those relationships, as anyone who knows who is in some sort of blended family.
Yeah. You know, Matt Schembechler does not come forward alone today. There were a couple more voices who he's standing up with at today's press conference, Daniel Kwiatkowski and Giovanni Johnson, who both played for Michigan under Bo Schembechler and have their own stories to tell. Did Matt share anything with you about why it was important to be part of a cohort?
Well, he talked a little bit when I asked him why now in 2021 and to come forward. And he said that he heard from folks who talked at Michigan State about Larry Nassar. And then as the revelations came starting last year about Dr. Anderson at Michigan, he started hearing conversations from players that he knew. Remember, he grew up as a coach's son. He was around the football program for a long time, knew lots of players. When he was in high school and college, he'd work out with the guys during the summer when they were around doing workouts and stuff. And so he knew them. And as he started hearing people that he knew talk about this and come forward publicly, that's kind of, you know, that's a part of his motivation for coming forward now and for coming forward with these two other players.
Yeah. We know from several other sources, including from Michigan Radio's own reporting and the Wilmer Hale Report, that's the law firm that looked into this for the U of M, that several people came forward to the athletic department, beginning with first on record that we know of is a letter from a U of M wrestler in 1975. And several other incidents have been outlined in which student athletes with varying degrees of specificity came forward. It appears that, like Giovanni Johnson and Daniel Kwiatkowski, they got varying responses. In some cases, the students report Bo told the player that he would look into the allegation. In other cases, athletes said that Coach Schembechler told them to, quote, toughen up. And these all seem to have happened at various times in the late 70s. How does the timeline of Matt Schembechler's story track with the other incidents that we've learned about in recent months?
So Matt's case would be the earliest that we know of Bo or anyone else knowing about Dr. Anderson. So after Matt told Bo about this, nothing happened. And so Millie, Bo's wife, was upset about Bo's reaction, which was very, very violent, arguing. And she went down the street to their neighbor, who was Don Canham, the legendary athletic director, then the athletic director. And Don came over to the Schembecker's house while Bo was at work and heard from Matt what had happened. You know, Matt told his story again. So we know that as early as 1969, if, you know, through Matt, or as Matt tells it, that not only did Bo Schembecker, the football coach, know, but Don Canham, the athletic director, the really powerful athletic director, knew about it. So that's earlier than any other cases that we have known about at this point, as far as people within the university knowing about allegations against Anderson.
Did Matt Schembecker ever have to see Dr. Robert Anderson again?
Yeah, so he saw him for a physical in 75 when he was a high school sophomore, was again sexually assaulted. And then he also saw him around. You know, Matt talked yesterday about how growing up, when you're the son of the football coach, all the families, all the football coaches, all the trainers, all the those folks, I mean, that was their social network. They hung out together. They did barbecues in the backyard. They went to the kids' ball games. You know, that's who he grew up with. And in that mix of people during his, you know, from 10 to college was Anderson, and he would have to see him at a variety of functions. He's talked about being, when he would see him, he'd be hurt or he'd be angry, and he'd just not know why this guy was still around.
What did Matt tell you about the effect that these run-ins had on his life?
Well, it's something that he said he's been dealing with, you know, since then, that it caused him great hurt and anger, you know. And, you know, reading between the lines a little bit, you know, it certainly seemed to have impacted his relationship with Bo.
David, do you think that Matt Schembecker's story is any more legally significant than the testimony of so many others who've come forward? What we know of Robert Anderson's victims right now is that they apparently number in the hundreds, and these are men and women from all walks of life. There are legal allegations playing out in federal court right now about what the university knew about Robert Anderson and when officials knew it. What does Matt Schembecker's story add to that narrative?
I don't know legally if it adds a whole lot. You know, we have known right from when this broke into the public, you know, more than a year ago, that there was some sort of cover up at the university involving Don Canham. You know, that was the first stuff that came out. So it, as we talked about, it makes it earlier. I think what it really does is it adds to the narrative, adds to the questions that are being raised about, you know, what the football program, what Bo Schembecker knew. You know, remember who Bo was at the university. He was, you know, he's the iconic coach. He's who people think of. He went on to be the athletic director there. You know, he had lots of power. And there's all along now been questions about, were football players involved? And if football players were involved, what did he know? And to have his own son come forward, and if the allegations are true, you know, that's a major step forward. And it puts a lot of pressure then on the university to now think about names and statues. You know, there's no name, Anderson's name's not on anything at the university. But, you know, the football program practices in Schembecker Hall. To get into Schembecker Hall, you got to walk past a giant life-size statue of Bo. And so now the question becomes, does that statue come down? Does the name come off the hall? How is the university now going to deal with this outside of the court? You know, there's going to be some sort of settlement, some sort of money paid to Anderson survivors. So there's that. But now what do you do in the court of public opinion? How do you respond? This puts an incredible amount of pressure on the university's administration and the university's board of regents.
David Jesse is a reporter for the Detroit Free Press, and you can read his story about Matt Schembechler's account of Dr. Robert Anderson online. David, thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
We reached out to the University of Michigan for comment on what Matt Schembechler had to say. They sent us a statement that reads in part, "Our sympathy for all of Anderson's victims is deep and unwavering, and we thank them for their bravery in coming forward. We condemn and apologize for the tragic misconduct of the late Dr. Robert Anderson, who left the university 17 years ago and died 13 years ago. We're committed to resolving their claims and to continue the court-guided confidential mediation process." You can read the university's full statement at our website, michiganradio.org. Also, please know, the University of Michigan holds Michigan Radio's broadcast license.